pretty confident nobody in the history of the church has ever picked this text for communion. But I could have done something different for communion, but I'm just going to go ahead with Proverbs. And I think you'll find an ending to this text that will be most fitting. If you'll just hang in there a bit, I do think we'll get to some gospel beauty before we're done. It's not a long sermon, but it would be interesting for sure to look at this text. Maybe you're like me, but I know I've read Proverbs. I don't know how many times. I lost count a long time ago, but I never really saw the implications of this text. And hopefully you'll see some things tonight that will encourage you. But Proverbs 6, I simply titled the message, Debt Paid. Debt Paid. Proverbs 6, 1 through 5. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, you have given your pledge for a stranger. If you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hand of your neighbor. That phrase signifies the shaking of hands in some type of financial agreement. It's worded differently in other translations that brings it out a little bit better. But you've come into the hand of your neighbor. Well, if that's happened, this is what you do. Go, and it says hasten. The other word is humble, and we'll look at this more fully in a moment. But go, hasten or humble, and plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep, your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. That's our text tonight. Co-signing a loan, giving a pledge of your name on the behalf of someone else. I do remember as a young man, I don't remember my age, 17 to 21, somewhere in there, that I desired to buy a vehicle, the first vehicle type thing. And I remember going to the bank, and I remember filling out the application and trying to buy this vehicle. And they told me, no, you don't have no credit. You haven't worked very long. We can't trust you in this sense, is basically what they're saying. What if my daddy signs? You can have as much money as you want. Really, you know, so dad co-signs, you can have the money. I didn't realize what all that meant as a young man. I just wanted a truck. And I didn't realize what it meant, but basically, and truthfully, it meant that my dad is good for the bill. And so I'm thankful it worked out. My dad didn't have to pay anything. But if I would have defaulted, not done my job, not made the money, not made my payment, the bank would have immediately called him and demanded payment because his name is on the paperwork. Think about that and the importance of that, of co-signing. My dad's signature gave value to my name that had no value. Well, thankfully, dad didn't ever have to pay, as I've already said. But Proverbs, this is a strange text to me. It gives us this grave warning about co-signing. Maybe you've never thought about it. Maybe you'll think about it tonight. Be warned about co-signing, pledging, or putting your name as a reference on somebody else's character. It's dangerous. I have to bring out the text. Maybe you don't see it, maybe I don't see it, but it's dangerous to co-sign for a close neighbor. I'm going to spot you some money as you start your business. I know it's a risk, but I'll put my name on it. It's dangerous business to do that for a neighbor or to do it for a stranger. And then I think about this text, and I'm like, I wonder what condition our country would be in if the banks would have read 5 verses of the Bible. No, I'm not giving you no money. Imagine this. You go in to get a loan, and they say, I'm not going to cover this loan for you. Let me get this straight. You want this, and it's going to cost you $800 a month to pay it. Here's what you do. Before we give you a loan, You work for a year and you pay yourself $800 a month for a year and come back and ask for a loan and pay that money as a down payment, then we'll talk. I wonder what the financial status of our country might be in. But because of what we are, high interest rates, endless trails of paper, you buy something, it's like writing a book, the number of times you have to sign papers, massive, I don't know the statistics, of bankruptcy claims of people that cannot pay. Credit cards out the kazoo, maxed out. And I assure you, many people with credit cards never intend on paying for them. We just buy our stuff, default, and let it go, run our credit, because it don't matter. Why? Bad credit? No problem. It's like the world took the opposite point of this verse and said, we'll do anything to give you a loan. And somehow they think it's going to work out for their good. And you know the slogans. Bad credit, no problem. Interest free for a year. Everyone approved. Apply here. And on the list goes. Well, what we learn here in Proverbs, do make a note, is different than simply being generous. You want to give somebody some money because you just want to give them some money. That's a different subject. You want to be generous and bless somebody, that's fine. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about co-signing, pledging your name on the behalf of another's obligation. And so don't misconstrue this that you're not supposed to help people. In our text, the warning is to not become financially liable for a neighbor or a stranger. And at the heart of this passage is the reality that one man becomes unable to pay, and the obligation to pay falls upon the other person. Just think it through. For your kids, they want to buy something. For a college loan, they want you to sign for the loan. Think these things through. Use the wisdom of Proverbs and say, I don't want to put myself and my family at stake for what you may or may not do. I'd rather you do without than me to be obligated to pay when you default. That's unloving. No, this is wisdom. Be very cautious what you sign your name to. So my simple thesis is this. Co-signing or pledge giving is foolish unless. Co-signing or pledging is foolish unless you're willing and able to foot the bill. You say, I'm going to co-sign it, but I have the money to cover it. And if you want to do that, that's up to you. But make sure you have the money or the source to pay it. If not, then it's going to fall upon your shoulders, and the bank will come for you. All right, verses 1 and 2, snared. This text boggles my brain because of the sharp language that it comes with here in a moment. But snared, you've obligated yourself. What does this phrase put up security mean? My son, if you have put up security. According to one commentator, quote, it is co-signing a loan. It's putting yourself up as collateral. It is underwriting someone else's speculative risk. It's getting into a partnership when your partner's default brings you down. That's what it is. Signing your name to cover for something someone else cannot pay. Or maybe this is a rim. It doesn't specifically say this in the text, but by implication, it's not a far reach. Signing your name as a reference to a job application. I don't know. I've lost count, and I never considered the text. So if you come to me, you might not get a favorable answer in the future. But you come and you say, I'm trying to get a job at Burger King. Can I put you down as a reference? I'm not sure if I want you to put my name down as a reference or not. Maybe, maybe not. Why? Because if you go to work at Burger King and you're a deadbeat employee and you won't show up on time, that's my name that you're destroying that I've put down as a reference validating your character. Caution here I do think about this, how many guys are in the pulpit because of the character references that were given for them on a piece of paper. The search committee looks and they go, oh, John Piper's a reference. Oh, John MacArthur's a reference. We'll hire you. And then they find out that this guy's not very good. What do they think about Piper and MacArthur now? Why did you validate this guy when he's lazy, unqualified, and not above reproach? So be cautious. Use wisdom about who you would put your name to validate their character, and especially if it has to do with a financial loan. Be very cautious in that. Use wisdom. Sometimes it's okay. It's not always wrong to put your name down as a reference. But don't just throw your name out there to be destroyed. That's foolish. And would say also in verses 1 and 2 on this being snared, words matter. And you look here in the text, verse 2, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth. If your words have ensnared you. The problems with this text is we say things, and if it don't work out, we just say, well, forget it. That's not the way the Bible works. When you give your word, you're obligated. Even if you don't sign the paper, even if you don't have a contract, if you say, I'll cover him if he don't pay, you're bound. Your words bind you. They put you in a snare that way. It means like to lay a bait, to lure, to catch in a snare, to be caught by a bait, to be ensnared, and to be entangled in a business relationship with another party that obligates you. Words matter. What you say in regards to the one you support, what you say in regards to the creditor. Now, I don't think this is fascinating preaching, and I don't think it's going to like give you goosebumps, but it's our text to be very cautious about how you do financial obligations. Don't be snared. Now, this is where it gets interesting to me. But if you are snared, and you have co-signed, and you have obligated yourself to another, then get out of it. That's what it says, right? Verses 3 through 5. This is what you do if you've got yourself trapped with a shaky person that's not going to pay their bill. Then do this. Save yourself. Save yourself from what? The obligation to pay for their lack of payment. You need to get out of this deal. Save yourself. You've come into this agreement. You've shaken hands. Then hasten. Plead urgently with your neighbor. Deliver yourself. Kind of like in Zechariah. Is not this the hand plucked from the fire? Get caught out of the fire. Get snatched out. Get out of the... this is a commentary note. The image portrayed here is one of being snatched or plucked quickly out of some danger or trouble, in the sense of rescue yourself. Why? What is going on here? Why? Because you've put yourself in obligation to the hand of your neighbor. That's why you need to get out. You've fallen into your neighbor's power. You're contractually bound to cover their failure to pay. This could destroy your family. A lot of people have lost their hat on this deal. They put it up, and then the person doesn't pay, and it harms or destroys their own family because they're obligated to pay. So if you're in this situation, get out of it. But how do I get out? How do I get myself delivered? In verse 3, where it says, go, hasten. Hasten. Go, humble yourself. Go, swallow your pride. Go, without waiting, go right now and get out of this deal. Now, I know what the Hebrew word is here, and this is why it's fascinating to me. This is what the word means. It don't get translated this way. It suggests this word humble yourself, this word of swallowing your pride, suggests getting down on the ground and letting the other person trample on top of you. And to call you every bad name in the book, but you just go ahead and let him call you every name in the book and just trample all over you. Just whatever you want to do, I just want out of this deal. Is that not strange? I'm in this financial obligation, and I go immediately, I get down on my knees, and I say, I want out of this contract. And he says, you lowlife, no good dog, you told me you would cover it. What do you mean you want out of this deal? Look, call me what you will, take my name off the paperwork, we're done here. Just trample me, run me over, run me however you want, but I'm done, and I'm not obligated to you no more.
And you may have been thinking while we're preaching the sermon, like, why are you saying this so severe? Because that's what the text says. And I'm like, it seems strange to me, but that's what he's saying about this financial obligation. Get out of it. Be absolutely unremitting in effort. Tell them they have to remove your name. Plead urgently. Storm against your neighbor. Be bold. Don't take no for an answer. Press your plea. Beg him to release you. It's so urgent, I am not going to get 1 ounce of sleep until you take my name off the obligation. That's what the text says. So I don't know if you're in a situation like that. Maybe nobody's in a situation like that. Don't ever get in one. And then he gives another picture. This thing is so serious. Don't sleep until it's resolved. Look at the phrase in verse 4. Don't even let your eyelids slumber. Wide awake, lay yourself down, get the pulp beat out of you, but get your name off the obligation. You want more descriptive terms? Like a gazelle in the hands of a hunter. Like a bird in the hand of a fowler. That's how you should respond if you're snared in this situation. Maybe we could add some other animals if it helps. What does a fish do in the hand of an angler? Do that. Well, what does a deer do when the archer pulls back the bow? Do that. Jump, quick, move, dodge. Get out of this thing because you don't want to be obligated for the financial payment of another. How we deal with money and what we obligate ourselves to pay is serious business because it affects you, your family, affects your tithe, affects your church. Financial things are very, very important. So be wise and don't obligate yourself in situations that can end up ruining you. That's our text. And now, here's where I see you say, how in the world could anybody see the gospel in this? Well, I see the gospel here, and so I want to share what I see of the gospel. And so my third point is saved. You say, where did you get saved out of this text? Well, like this. I think about man. He's in insurmountable debt. I think about man that he's in the desperate need of a cosigner on his debt. He needs someone else to pay because he don't have the resource to cover his bill. I see the incapability of making a payment that would suffice my creditor. I can't do it. I see in man intentions without ability or resource. In a couple of translations, maybe something like this from Job. Job 17:3 in a few translations. Who else will put up security for me? Who is there that will be my guarantor? For there's no other who will put his hand in mine. This is Job here. Who's going to co-sign for me? Who's going to put their hand in mine and say, I'll cover your debt? It's a good question he asked. Well, here's the marvelous thing. It's a marvelous gospel. Christ signs his name to your debt. I'll cover it. He obligates himself to pay our debt. Christ became snared to the debt of our sin. Think about Christ's words. Think about Christ and what he would do. I'll take this to the cross. And he goes through, and not one time does he break his word. He's so snared by it, he says, Father, if there's any way out, I want out. But if not, your will be done, not my will be done. I've given my word, I won't turn back. Christ did not deliver himself from our debt. He embraced it. Christ made no effort to break the covenant that he made with the Father. None. He made no effort to break that covenant. According to the old Puritan, Charles Bridges, yes, our God, while he warns us against putting up a pledge, has taken it upon himself. Praised be his name. He has given his word. He's given his bond. Yes, He's given his blood for sinners, a security that no powers of hell can shake. What a great and blessed thought. Some of you have heard this. It won't be new for you, but it's refreshing to hear it once again. And with this language of debt and payment and co-signing and pledging, I am reminded of the Father's Bargain by John Flavel in the 1600s. Now, John Flavel, however you want to pronounce, wrote this picture of God the Father talking to his dear son regarding the hopeless estate of sinners. It's become known as the Father's Bargain. And he says, "Here you may suppose the Father to say when driving his bargain with Christ for you." So the image in their mind is the Father and Son in heaven before the ages begin. And the conversation goes like this. The Father speaks first, and he says, "My son, here is a company of poor, miserable souls that have utterly undone themselves and now lie open to my justice. Justice demands satisfaction for them, or will satisfy itself in the eternal ruin of them. What shall be done for these souls?" And Christ responds to that statement the Father makes, and he says, "Oh, my Father, such is my love to and pity for them, that rather than they shall perish eternally, I will be responsible for them as their surety, as their pledge. Bring in all their bills that I may see what they owe thee. Lord, bring them all in that there may be no after reckonings with them. And at my hand shalt thou require it. I would rather choose to suffer thy wrath than they should suffer it. Upon me, my Father, upon me be all their debt." Take all their debt, put it on me. The Father says, "But my son, if you undertake for them, you must reckon to pay to the last mite. Expect no abatements. If I spare them, I will not spare thee." And the son says, "Content, Father. Let it be so. Charge it all on me." I love this. "I am able to discharge it. And though it prove a kind of undoing to me, though it impoverish me of all my riches and empty all my treasures, yet I am content to undertake it." And the concluding paragraph, with that thought of what the Son has done to pay your debt, and to take it all upon himself, to pay it to the last mite, he ends the paragraph this way: "Blush, ungrateful believers. Oh, let shame cover your faces. Judge in yourselves now. Has Christ deserved that you should stand with him for trifles? That you should shrink at a few petty difficulties and complain that it is hard and that it is harsh? Oh, if you knew the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in this his wonderful condescension for you, you could not do it." We should be the most grateful people on the face of the earth. "All of my debt he took upon himself and paid to the last mite." Well, in conclusion, the wisdom about not attaching yourself to another's debt remains relevant and true today. It's bad business to put yourself and your family under financial obligation that could destroy you. It is such a foolish thing to do. You should go immediately and do whatever it takes to be released, if at all possible. It's good to love people. It's good to help people. It's good to meet needs. But to destroy yourself by being obligated for another's debts is foolish. But, and last, if you give your word to pay another's debts, you got to pay it. So pay it. Christ put his name down for our debts, knowing from the very beginning that we could never pay. He did not get out of the obligation. He never claimed bankruptcy. He took the full justice of God's wrath upon himself. He paid our debt to the last farthing. His name is good. His character is spotless. His sacrifice is perfect. His payment has been fully approved by God. In Christ, your debt is canceled. Praise be to his name. Let us prepare at this time.